that after you mentioned it. Just the
kind of guy.
I'm like, hey, like, you know what?
Insert intro music now.
This felt like it was a good spot to start recording the podcast.
Yeah.
Just talking? What's the show about? It's about nothing. It's about nothing.
I just want these guys to know you got another thing coming, bitch. I'm still around.
I don't know, man. This has been a dry week.
Yeah, slow week.
Or is it? It's
bloody cold. That's
holy smokes! It's freezing. I forgot just how bad winter could get here.
Anyone's cars have trouble?
No.
Right?
I had my car in the shop for this week. I just got it back on Thursday.
Is this the same car you were trying to get rid of?
Nah, possibly.
Before, no.
Yeah. It was the Ford Edge. It's
It
had issues with the water thing. And then we finally, like back in December, I messaged Ford directly about hooking me up with some sort of like help. So I was like, look, man, it should still kind of be covered under warranty. At least give me a little bit more than like 20% coverage or whatever. So they're like, yeah, we get it. So they did 75%. I was like, sick, do it. And then they were like, we have to order the parts. And the parts just happened to coincide with this week being cold.
Yeah. Oh, so it worked out for you. Yeah.
Yeah, but like I had to borrow my car from one of my parents just so that we had a car, because you need a car with kids. You never know.
Mommy, daddy.
Thonu gaddi chahidi
aa? Yeah.
Tusi kithe jaana tha nahi?
You said all that. Or no, tusi busy aa? Busy?
Busy aa?
Yeah.
What company?
Clutch brown boys, eh? Like we know our grandparents can't say no. It's like, need the car.
In a school, shadna gaddi hai ye.
Yeah.
So I brought a car from our parents.
I didn't send my kid in the cold, man. I just forget it. I can't be bothered going outside.
Was soft. A lot of people were complaining on Friday about how cold it was. It was cold, but it's normal winter cold.
Yeah, it's regular winter cold. Yeah,
but you could still say, I don't want to go outside.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah, the pizza guy, I ordered pizza. I ordered pizza Friday night. This brown student came to my house. Faji. It was like tip time. He was like, Faji, thanda. I was like, yeah, bro.
You're like, I'll add $1.
I want to see if the Tiplar is still out.
No, the Tiplar gone.
They weren't on Friday.
I wonder.
On Friday, no.
There might be some top G's like, nah, bro.
No, man. Frostbite. I feel like someone sent a memo saying, yo, han chapla nu.
I saw Chapla on Saturday.
Really?
So yeah, and it wasn't much warmer. Well, it was warmer, but still dead of winter. I've seen Chapla.
I feel like most employers have kind of instituted a no Chapla policy, because I don't see it on anyone working.
Yeah, no, this is just some guy walking around.
Even Uber Eats. I feel like Uber Eats probably sent a memo saying, hey.
A food safety issue.
Yeah. I can't believe you kept your kid home because of the cold, though. Was it just because you didn't want to take him out that morning?
So my daughter goes on the bus, or we'd have to drop her off.
Okay.
That involves me going outside, so yeah.
Yeah, see, I got to drive my kid to school anyway, so it's like...
And we have remote start and everything, but yeah. Then it became like, do I have enough gas in the car?
Hold on. You have a remote start and you're still like... I literally started my car 10 minutes before.
Yeah, it was cold, man. It's okay. It's kindergarten.
It's the walk. Right. It's the walk from your front door to the car.
100%.
Wow.
It'll preserve those calories, man. It's, you know.
This guy does not want to work out for this run.
I am
on the 10K. I am going to die. That's all.
I hit the gym 5 days last week, too.
The steroids
are kicking in, so.
This guy's on straight testosterone. This guy's going to have a full head of hair.
I'm literally just going to take what Lance Armstrong took. I'm just going to figure that out and be on that stack, and I'll be good. Yeah, I'll be good.
It's an interesting thing, though. Like, I remember having a discussion with someone before. They're like, look, if you're not competing proactive, like, if you're not a pro athlete, you're not making money competing, why wouldn't you want to take steroids? Or at least some form of steroid that's like banned substance. No, so there's like the hard steroids, definitely, right? The ones that, you know, make you angry. But there's like testosterone. There's a lot of stuff that's banned that's considered a banned substance, but it doesn't have that same side effect.
Is it banned? But is it banned in sports because it's an advantage, or are you talking about banned substances just in healthcare?
No, it's fully legal. You can go pick it up from GNC.
Oh, that is fine, yeah.
But it's a banned sports substance. Like, you couldn't, if they test.
Yeah, that'd be stupid not to take it if you're not in sports. Like if you right. if you're looking for peak performance, go for it.
Wait, just from my knowledge, what can you pick up at the pharmacy over the counter that can help, like HGH and shit like that, like testosterone? Even they have to prescribe, no?
Testosterone you got to get prescribed, but it's easy enough yeah. prescription. It's not some crazy long like, hey buddy, this you just gotta tell them your age and they're like, yeah, here.
Yeah, I've heard. Yes, right? Yes, we were at that age.
Yeah.
Okay, so certain man symptoms.
Don't even say your age, it just comes as a recommendation.
Like creatine's a common one. Creatine's banned in almost all sport. Yeah, creatine.
Hey, okay, I get what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, if you're not in any regulated sport, yeah, if you're. But I mean, do you need to take it? That becomes a question.
I mean, yeah. If you're working out and stuff and you just want to be able to work out better or recover better, I see no problem with it.
Sure, but what's the goal, right? Is the goal to kind of have some physical manifestation where you're, you know, larger, bigger muscles or are you endurance? I mean, if it's in line with your goals, yeah, sure, go for it. But if it's just, you're just everyday gym bro, I mean, you probably don't need to be taking all that stuff.
Even everyday gym bro wants to maybe achieve a certain strength level or aesthetic. Why not?
Fair enough. No, but that's once again, what's your goals, right?
Yeah,
weight loss. Is it powerlifting? Is it weight loss? Whatever it is. Right, go for it.
I just want to be able to eat what I want to eat and be able to burn it off.
That's where I've started. I've had 5 days of a good diet, which is first time in a very, very long time, many years. So I'm very proud of myself. And water, man, that's a new one.
Water still
3 liters of water, dude. I'm struggling, but I'm getting my 3 liters.
I'm struggling with water. You know what I realized? I was talking to someone who came over, and they're like talking about how much protein you should be getting average, and they're like it's 0.8 of your weight.
0.8 per kilo.
Yeah,
per kilo. Per pound, yeah.
I thought it was
2 grams per pound or some weird. Yeah.
I thought it was 0.8 per pound.
Some bodybuilding bro science kind of metric.
2 grams per pound would just ruin me. But I heard it's
0.8 per pound.
Right. So I did the math and I'm like, okay, so I should be at around 150, 160 grams roughly. I'm literally getting 20, 30 grams a day. I had to message him like, yo.
How do you only get 20 grams of protein?
Veggie.
No, but bread itself, you can get 2 bread slices, and that's like 10 grams right there.
Really?
Of protein?
No.
Yeah, that's protein. Certain breads will have... man, I'm going to pull this up. I can't be wrong on this.
No. This guy's on some jacked up bread.
Yeah. you're going to do Wonder Bread, not like protein supplement Wonder. Bread.
Yeah. No, because like a Beyond Meat patty is probably the most dense protein thing I've seen in my fridge, and that's 18 grams per patty.
What's the famous one? Dave's Killer Bread? Is that the one everybody wants?
I don't even know what that is. All I'm saying is...
I don't even know what that is, yeah. This guy's like Whole Foods bread. This guy's looking
I'm eating a bagel for breakfast, oatmeal. I have milk.
Are you talking about Wonder Bread, like white bread? That's, yeah. Well, that's like, something else.
I have oatmeal. I have fruit. I started taking a little bit more cottage cheese. I have like Greek yogurt. But even if I take all these things that I'm eating that are considered protein rich, I'm not eating them enough.
Dave's Killer Bread, which is available at Loblaws because I've bought it, in one slice, all right, it includes 5 grams of protein. So you have 2 of those slices, you have 10 grams. That's half what you're attaining today. So I don't know what you're talking about. How are you not attaining more than 20 grams of protein?
Yeah, so how many slices of bread does he need to eat?
To get to 160?
No, but I mean, if he has 2, that's still, he's saying there's nothing, you're saying veggies.
Okay, I'm averaging about 40 grams. But I need to be averaging 160.
40? You can even average more than 40. I mean, you're eating beans, I'm assuming.
Not every day.
Protein shake?
Like, I protein shake after I worked out, but now I was, like, talking to people. They're like, nah, man, you got to do 2 a day.
Yeah.
Get that 60. Yeah, I guess. I mean, you're supplementing, like, right? Because you're not eating any eggs or nothing like that.
But I didn't. Yeah, do 2 a day. Do 2 a day.
How about nuts? Do you get a lot of nuts in, like peanuts, walnuts, all that kind of stuff?
I feel like I have a healthy nut consumption. Like, we have that Costco.
So interested by this thing. Conversation all of a sudden.
Right? Yeah, Rob.
You really would, wouldn't you? You peaked up there when you heard nuts in your mouth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I did. Yeah, 2023, yeah. Robbie. Yes. Yes, I did.
Perfectly acceptable, yes.
I'm just saying, man, 160 grams. Because that's 10 Beyond Meat patties. I'm like doing one every 3 days.
I had steak and edamame today.
This is interesting. Let's break this down. I mean, what else do you eat?
Like, okay, so regular day, my regular meals, wake up, oatmeal, I make oatmeal for the kids, take whatever's left over in their plates, that's me. Have like
oatmeal a has protein, on the side. Right? Oatmeal has some protein.
Has milk in it. Probably get a little bit there. Throw some blueberries.
You can add some yogurt to it, some Greek yogurt or something. That'll give you some more.
Well, I don't do it in my oatmeal. That would taste nasty.
Why? That's a thing. The Greek parfait or whatever it is.
No, that's a separate meal. That's a parfait. That's a whole separate dish. I like doing that too. But it's not my oatmeal.
Okay.
I'll do parfaits where I do Greek yogurt, granola, and fruit.
This, on its own. My friend, is a Khalsa that's going to protect me.
And then I got what? My lunch is usually leftovers, whatever is leftover. Maybe a slice of pizza. Or it's kind of whatever is leftover.
It doesn't sound very healthy what you're eating. Like you're not.
But this has been my diet for the last 20 years of my life, 30 years maybe, since my mom stopped making me food. Even then, my mom wasn't making heavy protein stuff. When I'll have bread, I'll do toast.
Milk? Milk must be a big component of it.
I don't drink too much milk because I'm lactose. Like, I get the shits if I drink too much milk.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
So got to keep that
Dane's not a...
Dane's almost in everything. So we eat yogurt with a lot of stuff. And Dane...
wondering what else you can eat, man. How about all this beyond stuff, like all the ground beef and like the chicken cutlets and like all the supplements?
You can get 20 grams here and there, but how much of that can I eat? Like, I don't eat that with every single meal every single day. I barely went, like, I'll eat a Beyond Meat patty once every other day, or I'll take something ground it up but every day.
It's time to start incorporating it's time to start incorporating some eggs in the morning.
I'm just
salmon's great as well.
Like, maybe on a good day I'll get to 60 grams, but consciously, when I started looking at how much protein I'm getting.
Why are we even talking about this?
I had for dinner. It was great.
That's great, yeah.
Steak, potatoes, edamame.
I need to grab some edamame. I used to actually like salted edamame.
It takes at least nutritious thing.
I'm just saying, 160 grams of protein is a lot of freaking protein that I got.
Why do we think that figure is true? Why do you think we need so much protein?
Only if you want to grow strength. If you want to build your strength and grow muscle.
But is that based on... So obviously the weight would be based on... I mean, we're all technically overweight, would I say, according to the BMI scale or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm with height and weight, it doesn't match up, right?
That I mean, I was technically at 180, and then someone told me, like, no, put it at what you want to weigh. I was like, okay. And so they brought it down to 150, 160. I'm just saying it's hard, man. That's all I'm trying to get at is...
Yeah, but there are vegetarian, like, bodybuilders and vegan this and vegan that. And there's, like, a whole...
There's a
documentary of that MMA guy where he just goes vegan for, like...
I mean, Jake Shields... It basically came down in my conversations. Like, yo, you need to drink more protein shakes. You're not drinking enough protein.
I mean, that's
easy way. There's a level of dedication that needs to be taken for a vegetarian... person who is building muscle.
But do you want to build muscle? Like, is that your intention or just to lose weight and be healthy?
Well, I mean, I need protein to just repair after workouts. Otherwise, I'm going to, like, to remove some of that soreness, right? So,
not bulking, right? Like, you're
not
just...
bulking, no.
No, but even Robbie, like, efficient muscles burn and metabolize fat much better than undeveloped muscles. So it's actually more efficient if you're trying to lose weight to incorporate... This is we're not that podcast. What are we doing?
We're not a fitness podcast. All I'm saying is I did the math and I was like,
I'm letting Ranjit talk science. I like it. It's fine. Keep going, Ranjit.
No. We're not. I just realized what I was doing.
But what brought this all up was the how much have I been working out? Randy said he'd been 5 days. The days it gets cold or the days that I don't have the energy to get to the gym, whether it's late or it's cold or I'm just mentally done, I just end up skipping rope in the basement for 40 minutes.
Yeah, even me, I am doing 3 days cardio, 2 days weight.
40 minutes on a skipping rope?
So look, I started out, it's been a month, right? I've gotten better, but I still can't do 40 minutes consecutively. I have, like, I trip up and now my rope's broken, so I got to buy a new rope.
You got a 9-foot basement?
No, it hits the ceiling.
just trying to picture it in my head.
No, the ceiling's about 8 feet. So,
you're taller than me, so I'm like that.
I'm not jumping. I'm not like jumping at my height every time I'm trying to skip. I try to do like enough.
You're just trying to small jumps and
jumps, keep it thing. And then my wife one day is like, "You do know we have a friggin' stationary bike upstairs." I'm like, "Well, yeah." I forgot this thing even existed. Found where it was. It was conveniently in front of a TV. I probably put it all up there one day. Sat there, biked, watched TV. I'm like, "Why don't I do this more often? This is amazing."
Dude, I set up a whole elliptical downstairs with a brand new TV right in front of it. Haven't gone down.
We literally had.
Yeah,
I literally told myself, oh, today's the day, man. We're going to go do 15, 20 minutes, get in the HIT. I got a whole weight bench, everything. Let's get at it. And then I put on some show upstairs. I'm like, oh, we'll do it tomorrow. There's always tomorrow.
I feel like
I'm going to die on this run. I'm just telling you. I can predict it. I'm still going to beat Ranjit, but I'm probably going to die.
What world are you going to beat Ranjit?
I mean, if I roll my ankle, you might, yeah.
Yeah, we've played soccer together. I think you remember.
40 years ago?
I don't remember much from your soccer playing days. 40
years ago, come on.
There's nothing memorable about your soccer playing time.
No, there wasn't. That's true.
All I'm saying is I'm starting to feel a little bit more comfortable with this 10K. I feel like I can do a respectable number. I've been getting my cardio up.
Fuck you guys. I feel like you guys are doubting me. That's it.
I'm not setting no records.
No. Don't feel like it. We are. You should know.
I thought we already paid for this.
Cue training montage.
Yeah.
I should probably... I would do a training montage, but I don't want to be the guy who sets up a tripod at the gym. I'm just there minding my own business.
Yeah, you don't want to get called out, right?
Robbie will pull that Kramer move was it Kramer? Who was it? They got the taxi cab.
He was late, you know, he was late for the marathon in Seinfeld.
Yeah, that was halfway there.
Plus, he'll refuse to wear the badge or whatever, the ribbon.
Just get someone else to run for me. How funny. Guys, yeah, I'll meet you there and just get one of my boys to go run for me.
This guy friggin' picks someone who's like active. Man.
Right at the end, throw the water. Oh man, yeah, great, great run, boys. Great run.
I don't know. Wild times. Talk about wild times. Anyways, you guys hear about this?
A bunch of guys signed up. One of my friends just watch and laugh at me as they go run the 10K. Yeah.
Hold on. So you got an entourage.
Yeah, I got running friends. They love to run. They're like, oh, shit, we're going to join and watch you too. I'm like, oh, fuck. Right. They're like, it's going to be funny. I'm like, that's not great. So I got a little more pressure.
Oh shit! I know. Well, yeah. The other lawyer buddy of yours, he's a runner.
Oh yeah.
Yo, that guy's next level.
He's next level, man.
I used to go to the gym at 5:30 in the morning.
I remember you told me once, "Let's go for a jog to run, like talk." I was like, "I'm like, no, man. When I jog, I can't talk to anybody.
I'm too busy trying to focus on breathing." Look, people make fun of me.
You see those people when they're jogging together, like 5K, they're like having a conversation. I do not understand that, man.
Yeah,
like,
I don't understand that either.
Honestly, when I'm running, even when I'm gaming, the only thing I'm trying to do is breathe. Just focus on breathing. Get that breath in. Now to unceremoniously transition over. You guys hear about this big balloon in the sky?
I mean, who hasn't? That was such a stupid but sensationalized story. It was
I mean for someone who hasn't heard of it, there might be some people out there.
All right, Ranjit, you gotta fill me in on this. I know of it, but I don't know the details.
So there was a balloon that came from China from by way of Alaska, crossed through Canada actually for a bit. And then it was discovered above Montana, Yellowstone country.
There's been multiple, by the way, not just one.
But we'll get to that. I'll get to that in a second. So they noticed this big shiny balloon in the air, and it could very well be a weather balloon because there are a lot of those for science. I think that weather, happens all over the world. But it could very easily be a surveillance balloon. So,
And this one was very different in the sense that it has a payload and the size of 3 school buses. The actual payload on the balloon is different. It's not a typical weather balloon payload. Hence they think it's responding.
Were people jumping out of this balloon?
I don't think so.
No, it's probably
you guys don't get the Fortnite reference. You said balloon, busload, people jumping out of Fortnite.
Okay. Our friends are not minors
when you talk to teenagers.
Anyway, so they discovered this balloon when it was over Montana, and people are freaking out in America because they're basically like, oh, we're under attack, let's nuke them. But it's really a fucking balloon just up there, not doing any harm to anybody other than taking pictures.
Just like over secure military bases.
Yeah, I mean, fuck, there's satellites. Google does it all the time. No,
but that's the question, right? The question is if the Chinese were to do this, they have hundreds of satellites in space. They don't need to do this. So what was this all about? It's a very strange
You know? This seems like a very over FU. They didn't want to do anything. The U.S. government's like, yeah, we're going to hold pat and just observe. There's public outcry. The whole, I guess, right-wing side of America is like, shoot this fucking thing down.
Biden's weak. Can't make a decision.
Yeah, Biden's weak. Yeah, Biden's exactly. Weak. And then over the weekend, they fucking shot a rocket at it. Awesome. They deployed a couple of our...
America, fuck yeah.
Yeah, yeah, here's a $200,000 rocket.
Yeah, they waited for it to be, you know, over the ocean a little bit, or I think, yeah, over the ocean, and it down.
Well, that's the fear, right? When it falls, having that payload, it could have actually caused a lot of damage to...
Yeah, yeah, it was a population. It was like, what, a 7-mile long, like, debris field, right? So,
yeah. And then they shot it down over shallow water, which was to retrieve the contents, so...
Right.
I'm sure they'll figure out what it's for.
I'm sure they had like optics and they could see exactly what was on the balloon and what how it looked and everything.
Well, the funny thing was that Robbie alluded to, like these come along like time and time again, yeah, and even during Trump's time. Yeah, there it got leaked that the army was like, well, it's not a big deal. It happened 3 times during the last president's reign. So like, what? 3 fucking balloons?
Hold on. You know what's wild that we kind of just glossed over? That it just casually flew over Canada for like 3. We didn't even notice.
Yeah.
I'm sure they noticed, but it's what are they gonna do?
No, they're like, well, it went through Alaska. It went through Alaska. The Americans let it in, so it can't be that bad. We rely on them anyways.
But don't we have like this crazy shield that protects us from like shit?
Yeah, NORAD is supposed to protect airspace. Yeah,
and like.
They probably detected it. They're probably monitoring it, but they're like, whatever.
It wasn't until the press got it that they're like, okay, now we actually got to do something.
Yeah, now we actually got to do it because now it's a public thing. And now,
do you guys see the last Top Gun movie?
Mind you, remember the U.S. has been spying on other countries for years, right? So
yeah. But I'm just imagining like this Top Gun scenario where they're like, all right, we got to get our top pilots and they got to train this mission of monitoring the balloon.
That actually counts as a down for the pilot who shot that missile, actually.
It's literally a guy with an arcade stick who's like, got it.
Yeah. They could have just sent a drone up with a missile, but no, they sent in 2 F-22s. Instead of shooting a bullet, they shot a rocket or a missile.
Mind you, the balloon was at 60,000 feet. There's only a few drones that can fly at that height.
Right. Okay, at 60,000 feet. That's fine. You're right. Yeah. But a drone could have been lower and still just targeted it, and the missile could have gone up.
Possibly, yeah. I wouldn't assume. I don't know how that works. I assume it drops and then
there's a little bit of drama. There's a little bit of drama.
It's a very expensive balloon to knock down.
No, the best was the people saying shoot it with a gun. That's so funny. I love that.
I got my M16 right here, ready to do God's work.
The understanding of physics is hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. They don't know what gravity is. Anyways, nice I saw a lot of funny memes about Carolina because that was a state where the balloon was taken out. And there's one, it's like pictures from the balloon are recovered, right? Obviously not, but it's literally pictures of Americans pointing guns at the sky angrily.
Have you ever seen those old first signs of like civilization discovered in like Brazil? And they're shooting arrows at it.
Yeah, that's exactly what they made it out to look like. It's so funny.
Yes, man, it says, well, they flew it over 3 times during Trump's administration.
So I can't imagine it's a spy balloon because I feel like satellites reveal all that information anyways. You get like...
What if it was just a weather like, balloon? We dare you. No, we dare you. Yeah, we're sending shit over there. We dare you. Touch it. show your aggression. We dare you, right?
It's like trying to...
We sent a weather balloon. You guys shot it down with military force, which is against international protocol. So now we have something on you.
It was a civilian balloon that you shot down, and now we have to retaliate by.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. It's funny how the world's been worked up over it, though, because slow news week. But
the balloon. I can imagine CNN having 24-hour balloon coverage where they just have
someone following it around. Yeah, exactly. America, fuck yeah.
That's all I saw when they shot it down. I'm like, yeah.
Merkel. I was so surprised we didn't, Canada didn't even like notice the balloon casually just cross it over into America from our, over Alberta, just slowly coming down.
I don't, yeah. Antarctic. I mean, when's the order for those F-30, was it F-35s?
I mean, yeah, we already gave them to freaking Ukraine,
no? We weren't going to buy, now we're buying.
I thought we bought them and then gave them to Ukraine.
Wait. Yeah. People are so worked up. Actually, I keep forgetting to bring this up. People get so worked up that we send shit over to Ukraine. All these countries sending shit over to Ukraine. Who gives a fuck? We're not going to be using it anytime soon. We can wait the 2-3 years to replenish our stocks. They actually need it. Who cares?
I mean, to be fair, we couldn't shoot down a weather balloon.
Yeah. We could shoot give them everything. Give them our 20-year-old F-16s.
My only beef with this stuff is we're as a country struggling right now with our own costs.
Yeah, but they're already...
Here comes Pierre. Here comes Pierre.
It's already bought for and paid for. We have it. We're just not using it.
Hmm.
So we're going to get them back used?
Well, no, they're collecting rust anyways.
Okay, I see.
Well, hold on. Do you guys disagree with continuous investment in our military? I think we do need investment.
Oh, we're way behind.
I'm not against investing in our military. I just thought the notion of buying something to give to someone else to use while we're struggling to make ends meet here.
I mean, what did Biden promise today? $113 billion or something like that to Ukraine? It's some outrageous number.
Dude, it's more like, oh, I was cleaning out my closet and I found this TV. Why don't you take it off my hands, Ukraine? Because I'm not using it.
I mean, I understand the reference. By the way, can you please come by earlier than later so I can bring him start readjusting things with this stuff? I just felt like that's an expensive ass jet and like tanks and whatever. And I remember hearing they're like, we're going to buy them. And then before we even get to use them, we're just going to give it to them. Like, yeah, you guys can take it out of the box.
What do you guys think? I mean, if you analyze our military, where do you think the deficiencies lie? Like, I think our Arctic needs to be defended way better. I mean, clearly the China balloon came from there. So,
I actually watched it.
We rely on every other country so much to protect us
to be the bleeding heart. We really don't start shit. If someone were to come at us, like, bro, what the fuck? We're the guys playing risk and minding our own business, just building up on our own side, saying, leave us alone.
Yeah, but we're like the little brother of the guy who likes to fight. And so when push came to shove, if brother got attacked, we'd have to stand up next to brother. Right? I mean, that's the way I look at it.
Let me call my cousins. My cousins.
We're that cousin.
Yeah. And then Canada comes in after, like, the guy's down with a little kick. He's like, yeah.
You okay? Bitch. You okay?
Bitch. Sorry. Bitch.
Oh, no, man.
But, like, as a country.
We are Chris Tucker in Friday.
Yeah.
I love that reference. I wonder how many people listening right now have actually watched Friday.
Google.
Friday next was the other one. Next Friday with
next Friday.
Friday and Friday after next.
Michael Epps. Epps is he's good too. He's the cousin. Sorry, he's the cousin.
I gotta go.
No, but
we could. Gotta go back and watch Friday.
We could definitely do with more defense spending. Definitely.
Right, the F-30. So that they're just sending that generally all to Ukraine. Is that the idea?
No one.
We're sending them tanks.
Tanks, okay.
Yes.
But what was tanks, it that military purchased? Trudeau had said we're not going to buy it, you know, and now
that was
now
the F-35. That was
so why have they gone ahead with the purchase now?
Because we are in such dire straits with our Air Force. Our planes can no longer function or carry out the missions they're supposed to. So they just need something modern that can do the job.
I love the
It's insane how we had a crazy aerospace industry right here in Canada, and we just kind of
Grafton, right? The
Malton.
Avro Aero, right? Avro Aero McDonnell McDouglas, I think it is. And all those engineers that went to NASA, they left Canada after everything got shut down. I mean, we could have been at the head of this, but
I love that.
Diefenbaker, a conservative, joined America because America didn't want, the notion was they didn't want us to have the Avro Aero. So they broke down the program to purchase kind of like a missile system. Yeah, no, it was a missile system, right? Like a defense missile system that was what was being sold to us. So that was it. That was the end of the Avro Aero, if you call it.
I mean, we got a nice statue in Malton, though, Wildwood Park.
you have a plane that no one can find parts to. So it's
they ditched it in the Lake Ontario or something. What the story is.
But I mean, if you think about it, we could have had a crate. We can build things. We just, I don't know. It sucks that we're so behind now.
Our cousin doesn't let us. I mean, cousin doesn't.
I don't know. A cousin, I mean, I'm sure they're getting parts from us for a lot of those, a lot of that military stuff. No?
I have no idea, man. All I'm thinking about is the clips of Trudeau saying, I can't believe Harper's spending money on a jet. Canadians, we need to get together and stop this spending.
Yeah.
And then a few minutes later, I would like to buy a few jets, please.
I mean, the polls for him are not looking too good right now. I mean, they said most Canadians kind of are okay with him getting voted out. So it's going to be an interesting election when it does come. But
we got time.
Isn't that the case for all elections? The media tries to build up some sort of narrative with polls sometimes.
No narrative. I generally, like, when you talk to people, like, even I was cashing out my groceries the other day at work, and she's like, oh, that Trudeau. And I just started laughing. I'm like, it's one thing to think it. It's like to tell every customer in line, like, complain about Trudeau and inflation. I'm like,
oh, dude.
Yeah, people are pissed, right? They're really pissed. Yeah.
The worst is, like, let's just jump to it. These people are complaining about, oh, I bought, like, you know, 3 houses worth $7 million. fucking Trudeau. Trudeau on the Bank of Canada raising interest rates. The average Joe like me can't afford my $4 million houses.
Yeah, you weren't complaining when you were selling the houses for a profit, causing stress to other people who couldn't afford it and artificially raising house prices. That wasn't an issue, right?
Hold on. The one case that Randy's talking about, this is the guy who a lawyer brings it up. One of Randy's guys, one of those esquires. This guy's, and he's like a real estate / contract lawyer. And he's talking about wanting to get out of a contract and how he basically wants the laws changed so that if you buy a house and the price drops in 10% before the construction's complete, you should be able to get out of it.
That's so stupid. Like, why didn't he just buy if he was a genuine homeowner, then he should have just bought a house that was built. He entered a speculative market, and now he's complaining on losses. That's like buying a stock and saying, whoa, 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 10% one day. No, that's not fair. No, you're playing a bet, essentially. You're betting on the fact that it's going to go up. He's getting burned, and now, you know, you're finding, like, things to blame. But, you know, how about greed? You know, that's the last thing that people talk about. Yeah, you're greedy, and you're getting burned. But it's a free market, isn't it? Isn't this the way it's supposed to work?
It's an investment. It's not a savings plan that the bank insures or something like that, like a GIC going down and you being robbed, right? Or your pension. This is an investment. The nature of it is you make a business decision based on the information you have at hand, and it works out or it doesn't. The government doesn't step in and protect investments. Like, people have bad plays all the time. They'll start a business, it doesn't work out. So sad, too bad. You'll live, okay? You won't make money. You'll have some debt. You have to make moves to pay it off, or it'll be a crippling debt, but you'll get by. Anyways, the point of the story is, most of these people in these stories, it's just so cringe because, dude, like, you're standing in front of, like, Robert, you pointed out before, you're standing in front of a house with your big name of your law firm
he's talking about his desperation, standing in front of his house with his name, in front of his $200,000 cars right behind him, and you're kind of like, you clearly don't understand, and like in the suit, and he looks like he's trying to show off. It's like, oh, I'm going to get in the paper, so I'm a flex. But why would you do that if you're trying to get the ear of everyone else and trying to get people to listen to your plight, empathy? And so you're like, yo, these guys are out to, and you know what's more cringe? They're Punjabi half the time. And that's starting to bother me too. I'm like, just stop.
It almost feels like we're being picked on here now. Like, why do you always have to use the Punjabi guy here? Can't you friggin' find that Asian or Italian?
I don't think they're being as vocal. I don't think they're organizing protests.
I think they're just like the
guy in BC, he organized a protest against raising interest rates. I'm like, what are you doing?
What's his,
like,
name? Hanvir or something.
Hanvir, And then there's, you know, this protest at Paradise Homes on Beauvais. But what are you trying to achieve here? I mean, why is it happening?
I think what makes it worse
is... Yeah, why is it happening?
Why is it happening, man? Come on, man.
I feel like what makes it worse, though, it's always like realtors, real estate lawyers, It's people who should know better.
No, no, they do know better. No one wants to lose. And now they think, oh, maybe if I do this, maybe if I get to play to the public, oh, there's the common man's being. So the best is they pose like a common man. That lawyer is saving on real estate fees because he's probably not using an agent on closings and so on. So he's already making even more money than your average home buyer. Then when he sells it, he's selling for an obscene amount of what he thought was going to happen, was at least, oh, I don't know, a 20-30% increase.
Yeah, I mean, his wife don't need their own homes.
So he's like ripping someone else off who just wants a home, right? No one's buying a house on him on assignment, on an investment. They want a home, usually, right? So that's kind of, you know, whatever. And he's probably done it a bunch of times. So that money he's losing, it's probably not even his. And this is not something he's done for the first time and he's getting caught. He's probably made a ton of money doing it. But
A lot of crocodile tears.
I'm all for seeing them get liquidated. But this raised what Robbie kind of mentioned is one thing I've kind of been paying attention to over the last little while is the notion of landlords and owning land. And then renting it out, obviously. And then landlords, when they rent out property, they're doing it for a profit. No one's trying to be a landlord at a loss. But with the recent rate hikes and stuff that a lot of people jumped into, now they're like, oh, snap, we got to raise our rent. But they can't because there's rent protections going in where you can't raise rent by more than 1% every 18 months or something.
Well, for the same tenant, but then you just don't continue with the same tenant and get a new tenant in there.
So obviously, so now your tactic is, well, I got to get these tenants out. But now if the tenant's like just a regular person trying to make ends meet and they found a home that they could afford, and now they're being forced to like leave. I feel like sometimes there are.
I mean, there's an investment choice, right? So if you're looking for long-term investment, okay, this is going to pay the mortgage. I don't mind paying a little bit into that mortgage situation. So it's even, I have a good tenant. To keep the house clean, they take care of the property. Okay, so what? I got to put $100 in, whatever. Because my goal is long term. I'm not looking for cash flow right away. I'm looking for someone to pay off my mortgage and whatever. I can handle it. And some people are okay with that. That's an investment. You might say, well, I'm going to take a less of a hit because your mortgage is structured in a certain way, and I don't mind paying a little bit of money in to take care of it. Then there's other people that they're so leveraged, they can't afford that extra $100, $200 at every place they have. And now it becomes a $1,000 bill, a $2,000 bill. And now they're like, well, we got to get someone because we got to see some. They're even doing the math in their head. It does suck for the families that are trying to live there. It will raise rents. But I mean, at the end of the day, this is the problem with living in Toronto, right? I mean, if you want to live reasonably well, then you shouldn't be living in the city. And I know that sounds like a horrible thing to say, but.
But imagine you're just like, look, you made a decision. Like, I don't want to buy the house. But you're like, I'm not going to buy the house. So I'm going to rent. I'm going to find a place I can rent. I can make do with the 1.2% adjustments. But now you're dealing with landlords who are like forcefully trying to kick you out or they're not doing their bit. We always hear.
But I mean, it all depends on how that looks like, right?
I just feel like I know all the horror stories about bad renters make like a landlord's life hell. They're able to like work the system and stay for so many months free. But at the same time, sometimes there's got to be a little bit of sympathy for a person trying to rent and just live their life. All of a sudden,
I don't think most investors are caring people though. I mean, they're not offering the service to help you live somewhere. That's not their prime goal. Their prime goal is to line their pockets. I mean, you know, this is not a business where it's service based. It's like, I'm not opening, I don't know, a grocery store because I want to, you know, be happy that my customers come in or a variety store. Yes, I want to make money, but I'm servicing people. I have a relationship. These guys are just about the dollar, right? I have this investment. I need it paid off. I don't want to pay it off. I want the renter to pay it off, and I don't want to put anything else into it. These are the metrics that work, and this is the way it's going to go. Yeah, it does suck for the renter, but it's kind of on both sides, right? The rent control, I don't know, the way I look at it, it works on how someone structured their mortgage, right? If they're on variable, then the landlord's going to be screwed, right?
It's going to get to a point where the mortgage is so high. They can't get the rent because the market says no, because people aren't going to be
just a limit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If the average income is like, let's say 4,000 a month, you know, growth or net coming in, let's say, you know, a well-paying job, then somebody needs at least like $500-$600 to spend on food and whatnot, internet. So you're only going to get max like 3,500 unless you're like have roommates and shit. But at the very least, there's like a defined limit, and the market will dictate how much people pay for rent, because it'll hit a ceiling, and then too bad, so sad.
And that's what's crazy. I mean, if the houses were so expensive and they got these high mortgages, which they're paying obviously obscene amounts right now, but the market now falls, right? And a person who's like, well, I'm not going to pay that rent when I could just essentially almost go buy.
Exactly.
I can get approval. And that should dictate technically dictate the rental market, right? Okay, well, that's the true price now. But we're just in this weird situation now where the prices really haven't fallen. So, and there's too many people.
Yeah,
right? So there is not
a studio will never attract 4,000 rent unless there's a bunch of people living there.
But there's also that problem where it's kind of like, okay, obviously people are like, well, why would you rent? Why not just get to the point where you can cover that mortgage? Like, your mortgage and rent are almost always going to be identical in certain ways. And there's just certain people who are like, look, getting that capital together to make that once
down payment.
But how do you save up for that down payment if you're like already trapped in this hamster wheel? And how long is that going to take by the time you get there, the houses have gone up 30%.
It's like Europe, right? Like Europe in the cities, not a lot of homeowners, a lot of renters. And that's generational renters.
So. I mean, the housing mentality is different. You know, we in North America have to get out of this notion that a home is a detached four-bedroom home. You know, fine. Yes, it's luxurious. We all have them. It sounds kind of...
bougie as hell.
No, I mean, the reality is if you look in Europe, there's families that live in two-bedroom condos for their entire lives, and they make it work, and they're happy. It's not like small, but the arrangements are done in a way where you can have smaller units, you can have smarter living, but our focus in North America is homes. We need to have a detached, a townhouse, three-story, three-bedroom home, and that's the only way to raise a family. So I think until we either say, okay, well, we're going to build, I don't know, this million home plan that Ford has and get it done, or if the mentality starts to change where you do have better rental units and people will start renting and just living their lives because it's affordable, right? But you can't have the notion, well, we're just have detached houses everywhere and that's what people want to rent, or that's what I need to rent. I mean, I heard of rent. Someone's renting a house for $6,000. I'm like, how does that even make sense? But
they got to do it.
I don't know
three incomes. You're new to Canada. You don't have the down payment for a mortgage, so you're not going to be able to buy anytime soon.
But at what point do you leave the GTA and say, okay, this just doesn't work. I'll drive half an hour. Yeah. Right, there has to be some breaking point where you're like, it's like New York. There's just no one's living in Manhattan anymore, right? That's pretty obvious. No one's buying detached houses and think, oh, that's the way. If they can get a space in Manhattan, they're lucky. Otherwise, they live outside, right?
Seeing this article in, it was like one of the big papers in America. I want to say it's the New York Times, but it may not be. Where they kind of went into these big, luxurious, like, condos that are being built, and they're, like, realizing that a lot of them are just vacant.
Empty, yeah.
They're just
empty,
money, yeah.
Billionaire row in New York along, what's that park? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Fifth Avenue, whatever it is. Madison, I don't know.
By Central Park.
Central Park, thank you.
But yeah, it's kind of crazy that we made housing, and I think this is a criticism that a lot of activists have over it, is we've made housing not a right, but something that people can own and do own strictly for speculation, which leaves a lot of people who are obviously not able to get into the market out because there's just people hoarding it, knowing that the price is going to go up, but I'm going to hold it. It's great like that.
My view of it's the opposite. I don't think it's supposed to be a right. I don't think owning a house should be a right. I know it sounds strange because we've been taught that in Canada. Mm-hmm. You go to Europe, they don't even think about owning the house. They're like, I just need a good place to rent. And they have good renting laws. And you know, there's obviously problems there as well, but it works. Because the assumption is they don't even think about owning the house, be it fair or not. Obviously, limit of space, smaller... What's the UK? How many million people do they have?
So I guess in UK, places like UK,
double Canada or something.
Double Canada, right? In a much smaller space between, you know, the same space from Windsor to Ottawa, let's say.
So a lot of people in Europe, I guess, they didn't have the same sort of housing crisis by any means.
Yeah, 67 million.
So, I mean, we're talking about, oh, there's so many people coming to Ontario. So is it the type of housing we're building is wrong? You know, should the government say, okay, well, we need to build more smarter units to house people? Reality is, yes, everybody wants it detached. Everybody wants that. That is the dream. Do you think it's time to kind of change that?
Well, I think that's what we're going to see going forward. But did you notice, like, so you were saying that a lot of people who do own houses, they don't care about who's renting it. They just care about the money coming in. Doesn't that kind of make us slumlords?
Yeah, I mean, if they didn't upkeep it, you know, if they're saying, well, I'm not saying that they don't care. They don't care in the sense that the reason they're doing, they haven't taken up a noble cause to provide housing to the public at a cost of their own, you know, finances, because they think it's out of goodwill. They've done it to make money, right? Like any business. Let's just be honest with that. So slumlords is a bit different. Slumlords is what happening on Steele's, where this guy lives, by his house. That's a slumlord, right? You have 20 people inside a house paying an crazy amount of rent. And, you know, in conditions where it's probably better in their own home country. They probably came from better living conditions and they're coming to Canada, sold this, you know, Canadian dream or whatever you want to call it. When I was in the UK, they had a maximum occupancy law, and I'm sure people broke it. I mean, that's fine. I understood that. But the way it would work is that I had to pay property tax myself. It wasn't the landlord. So if I'm registered at that address, I would have to pay property tax. And then they would kind of monitor that. You couldn't have more than four people or something like that living in one unit. That was the max. And so all the multiple housing was designed in that way. You know, three bedrooms, four bedrooms, you know, big living area, big kitchen. And you know, I'm sure there were students there too. And I'm sure people were doing it with 20 to a house, but at least put some kind of regulation. We don't have any regulation on how many people can live in a house. I mean, I'm sure there is, but
I'm sure there's fire codes here that we're just not adhering to.
No, it's fire codes. Fire codes are different than maximum occupancy laws, right? I'm not the guy who would know them, but I'm surely if there are some, then why aren't they coming to Brampton and investigating these houses? I mean, there's constant complaints of like 15 kids living. Look at the driveways. You know, driveways are full of cars,
tell,
right?
You can tell which house has,
yeah. Yeah, sure. Go stick a fine on the landlord. You know, I mean, you can control it if you want to.
There's just no will.
Yeah.
But talking about bad investments, you guys hear what's happening with Adani?
What a week that was.
How many billion did he lose?
I'm going to quickly Google
it. I just remember he lost 30% in one day. We know
like what... I feel like his stock line's like bad crypto. Like everything's going...
It's just going straight crypto. it's just straight sell.
He lost half his wealth... So his firms have lost $110 billion. I don't even know how much he lost personally.
And this is all off one news article.
Is this? Can anyone fill me in?
Yeah.
I just saw it. Yeah, go ahead and do it.
So I can give you guys like a breakdown. Stop me where you want. There's not really much discourse. Just a crazy story. So Adani, like, I guess, do you guys know what they are?
Just to give me the full Cole's notes, because
like,
I don't know
imagine this. Because there's no real like equivalent in Canada or US. Imagine Bell, Rogers, and TELUS were family-owned companies. And they were not just in telecom, but they also had owned Petro-Canada, one owned Esso, one owned Shell, you know.
Monopoly, whatever.
Yeah. In multiple sectors, okay? So these four or five families, they have their hands in many pies, where they're in your roads, they're in your gas, they're in your homes, they're in your electronics. And this is a country of 1 billion. So the consumption of their products is everywhere. Okay. They made stupid, stupid money. So this is like some sort of weird oligarchy. Anyways, they were doing this raise. Okay. They're selling 2.5 billion worth of shares, and how it works is it's a bit of a roadshow. So let's say the company's retail trading share price is $1. They will go to their friends and close network and say, we're going to sell you our shares for 90 cents. Okay, you're getting a discount on the shares. Okay. So they'll do that with their media network, and then they'll go one step further, like, you know, one extra layer, and say, we'll sell you our shares for 95 cents. So you're still getting a discount, but not as much as our close network. And that's about it. So they usually, you know, they publicize this publicly that we're about to do this, cash raise. There's a road show where investors, you know, the sales guys go out and target like fund managers and shit like that, like buyer shares, because the quicker they wrap it up, the more successful it looks. So this is what Adani was doing, selling 2.5 billion shares. And this small short seller in New York called Hindenburg, they're like, yo, we did a deep dive, a very thorough report, which shows that the Adani Group have been manipulating their stock. Their books are wonky. You know, their shit doesn't line up. We took a deep dive. And there's like foreign funds manipulating the stocks, you know, pump and dumps and whatnot. So like, you know, this is alarm bells. This caused the shares to tank. Okay, so that share that was trading at $1 is now trading at 70 cents. And these guys have to sell their shares. The price is set. They have to sell at 90 and 95 cents, okay? They can't go back to the drawing board because it'll look bad, and they've already put out the offers, okay? So they can't go back and lower the price. They need to hit that price because they need that liquidity. So if they don't sell out that 2.5 billion shares, the company's pretty much toast. So what happens, you know, they pretty much made it look like Adani Group's response is that this is an attack on India. This is racist, you know. This is the West coming after us.
Classic India.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Dude, is it?
So that was the first play. But then the Hindenburg was just like, look.
Here's the numbers. Pissed,
no, if you're pissed, sue us. And then that'll force you to go to discovery where we can request more documents that you haven't provided us and further bolster our, there goes Robbie, further bolster our position. Adani hasn't sued, okay? So now it's accepted. Like, you have to be pretty much accepted that these Hindenburg guys' report is bang on.
And that they're hiding something that they're wanting to go to discovery over.
So there's a deadline to sell that 2.5 billion shares. So like a couple of days before, this sovereign fund in Dubai, they're like, we'll buy 400 million worth, okay? And before this point, they probably had sold like 700 million worth. This new company, a couple of days before deadline day, says we'll buy 400 million. There's still like 600-700 million.
They're eating short. That loss right away.
Yeah. And if they don't sell this, they're fucking done. Okay. The shares continue to tank. These guys are every day in the news. It's like, you know, Adani lost another few billion dollars.
How many crazy billionaires and millionaires were just like.
Then the day of a few hours prior to trading closing, Adani Group posts out this like news article. Yep. Everything's fully subscribed. Everything's done. Boom. Somebody out there or a bunch of people bought like 700 million worth of shares at a loss just to keep these guys afloat. And the numbers aren't out yet, but it looks like it was their rival company. So like the Bell, TELUS equivalent.
Is it Reliance?
Yeah.
It's like the Ambanis and all that. Ambanis, like all these. Yeah. Okay. They came in and they bought these guys' shares to keep them afloat. And why? There's like some sort of like,
because they're probably the same.
Protect India. Protect India. Exactly. Today it's me. Tomorrow it's you. That's exactly like what it must be.
Or what if it was like a phone call from Hindenburg kind of saying, listen, you guys better go and make sure this thing doesn't completely just get liquidated, because a lot of my guys also got this. And if they get liquidated, the laws are going to come down so strict on everybody. So
could be some background stuff. That makes sense.
Well, something's going on. Something's going on. I think it comes out.
So is Hindenburg, like, is that purposely named Hindenburg?
I'm just thinking Breaking Bad, right?
Airship. I just heard Hindenburg. I'm like, wow, that's.
I only looked them up now when this stuff was coming out. They're known to be a well researched short seller.
So I mean, that's probably why they picked the name. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I think that's beautiful.
I wonder how much money they made. I wonder how much money they made.
Buddy, if they're going down,
they must have made a ton of money.
I think that's beautiful that they're making a fortune off this company just short selling them and like calling out their short position thing. Not only did we read your report, we're opening a short against you, and here's why. Good luck. Have fun.
I mean, he's a bit shady too anyways, right? So how he's amassed so much wealth and power and contracts. And so, I mean, yeah, the books are probably all cooked anyways. I mean, that's an assumption, right? Like the amount of government contracts these guys have, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's standard OP in India, right?
Well, he owns all the ports too. The ports are his big thing.
Yeah.
The ports in Punjab, like the ports they're trying to make is all this guy. Right.
Yeah.
The shipping ports is this guy.
I think the Gujarat ports are the big ones. Yeah, I think those are.
But he has one. I think he has one. If I could be mistaken, in Punjab that I heard about. But
well, what body of water are you talking about?
Yeah.
Land ports. Land ports. So transport of agricultural goods. That's what everybody was fighting, right? So if these guys, like, there's a land port near my mom's bend. I don't know if they own it or someone, but someone owned this massive land port. But if they start taking over all that land, buy all the agriculture land, now they have transport and they own everything, right? So
is the win for farmers? Because I remember during the whole farmers protest, there was like the whole Adani group is coming in hard. We got to like really.
Well, I think it's a bit of a wake up call. I don't know if it's a win for farmers, but it's a wake up call for India, just because this never used to happen where American firms would be taking a deep dive into Indian conglomerates, right? This is kind of like a slap in the face or a cold shower for the Indian economy. It's like people are going to start paying attention. So wake up.
That's wild, though. We basically got the script for The Big Short sequel, yeah, right? Are we on the three one? Because I feel like FTX is going to be the sequel. And then we got these guys for the...
FTX is more scary, but this guy's linked to governments, right? Like,
so what's FTX?
His government contract. Yeah, but his businesses are vital to the country, right? And I'm sure all the people he's greased along the way have a lot of shares. They've lost a lot of wealth, right? I'm sure the prime minister probably has something there as well. I mean,
everybody. It's in a lot of people's like GICs. This is the most stable stock ever.
So if they're tanks, everybody tanks. Yeah. It's interesting. But have you seen his videos online when he's trying to speak English? It's hilarious. It sounds like a robot. He says one word. I'm like, why even bother? Just speak Hindi, explain what the hell happened.
And get a translator.
You don't have to do English.
Get a translator.
Yeah, forget it, man. Just, you need to explain what the hell's going on. You can do it in Hindi.
He had his like CFO on there and he tried to make some comparison of the Hindenburg report to be like something like the Jallianwala Bagh or some shit like that. Like he's trying to draw those parallels. It was crazy.
Yeah, well, it's anti-India, right? Like, what was it? Remember when the farmers' protest came out? The first thing, don't let external people dictate what we're saying. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're not from here, so you shouldn't be. Like, if was it Rihanna? I believe Rihanna just stated something.
She retweeted something.
Yeah, whatever it was, and they all went after her.
The world's largest protest.
But it's the same. But this is the same actors who were saying, you know, when Black Lives Matter was going on, they were all involved and. Well, the hypocrites, right? Now it's your country. You don't want to. But the first thing is, it's anti-India. It's anti-patriarch. This is a private company. It has nothing to do with anti-India, right? If they're cooking the books, you should be concerned as a citizen. What the hell are they doing? But
kudos to Reggie, man. That was a great description.
I felt like I learned something finally.
I finally learned something from you. I was like, man, this is finally Reggie's ready to shine here.
I feel like he was reading it, but yeah, I'll give it to him.
I don't know, man. This guy, he's like into Indian politics, Indian news. I got this thing on point.
He's agent banda, obviously, 100%. He knows. He has the 401. Yeah, he knows, man. He already knew before. He has stocks in that damn company.
I need to see a TV show on this. This should become a TV show right here.
Yo, have you guys watched that India's The Bad Boy Billionaires of India?
No.
It was on Netflix. You should definitely watch that. It's about the Sahara group, about the Kingfisher guy, and about the Modi diamond dealer. And essentially, it goes through all how they've scammed people. The Sahara group guy is just a big Ponzi scheme.
I did watch it. Yeah.
And then
I didn't even hear about this show. What's it called?
The the Bad Boy Billionaires of India. And the Kingfisher guy and the Modi diamonds guy, they literally just would walk into banks, get these... Pay off a bank guy and get like $1 billion loans and walk out.
Oh,
like it was unsecured. It's a state bank. Like that was allowed to happen in that country. A state bank was giving away money with no checks and balances. So yeah, could this guy have shady books? Of course. Why not? I mean, they already have a bad history of this stuff, right? The only TV show that I've been watching.
On that point, it's like, you know, giving fraudulent documents to a bank and them giving you a mortgage without checking anything.
I like how you're trying to wrap it all back.
It's usually done by the same race.
Mm.
Hold on, I ain't here.
Oh wait, those two guys on the news, Indian guys, those protests. I wonder what's going on.
There's this one. I don't know what channel it's on, but it's somehow gotten into our family viewing, and it's just like it's about like a bunch of Indians in Miami, I think it is.
Family karma.
This show.
Don't pretend like you don't watch it.
No, I do watch it. This is me admitting that I'm watching it, but I don't know how it like came about. What is it? It's kind of like the Kardashian. It's not really Kardashian.
No, so much,
but it's just like, okay, what show would you describe it to?
So is it like these bling shows that have just come out, like Bling Empire, or like the following rich people around? Is that the
kind of idea? No, they're not really rich. They're very middle classy. When I'm watching, I'm like, these guys just seem like the normal middle class.
No, they're well-to-do families.
They're well-to-do, but they don't got like hardcore Lambos in the.
They're not Lambo and private jet money, but they're Maseratis and Teslas. That's not okay. I mean, slumming it either.
That's fucking Robbie, middle class. The new middle class, right? The
Brampton middle class. My car's 10 years old. Yeah, that's not me.
They're the Brampton middle class, Maseratis and Teslas. It's the Brampton middle class.
No, they're probably the middle class that actually can afford those cars and didn't get fraudulent mortgages.
Yes. Anyways, it's just a show following like this network of families that are
One group of like Gujarati and Sindhi families in Miami. They're a close group of friends. And they're dating, like they're getting married.
It's like the, what was that show, The Hills?
Parents Squabble.
I never watched it.
Is it a girly show?
No, my wife got me on it.
It's a reality show. It's a reality show.
Oh, yeah, sure. If you want to define it as that. Okay. It's a reality show.
It's more of a reality show than like a scripted show like The Hills was. But yeah, it's interesting, man. I can't lie. It's on. I'm like, so what's going on with this gay couple? Hold on. What's going on with those guys? Oh, is this guy still drinking like crazy? I don't know a lot of their names, but I'll sit there with my wife watching it. Like,
what's the attraction? It's the fact that they're Indian in Miami, or is it the actual storylines?
No, the storylines. I mean, it's trashy TV. It's not the first thing I'm gonna watch, but when there's like a lull between shows, then yeah,
it's a filler.
It's a guilty pleasure.
What was the one with the Persians and some Shaws of something? I forgot what it was. There's another version of that where the Persians in California. Same idea.
I'm sure they're living a lot better than these guys are. It's just one of those.
These guys sound poor. Like it's just like
I'm calling them Brampton middle class because I know people. I feel like I've seen their houses. I'm like, oh, that's your house. I know people with way more acreage or.
But in Miami, acreage.
Wow. Maybe okay, Miami. Whatever. Anyway,
bougie Shindai is. So let's talk about acreage.
It's on my mind because I've been wanting to. Like, I was looking at houses in Palgrave recently. All I'm saying is. Is there anything else you guys are watching that?
1923? I do want to watch this new comedy, Shrinking.
Comedies are so rare these days.
No, there's been a few good ones. Apple's been doing a good. Ted Lasso.
This last season.
Ted Lasso is brilliant. Yeah. I love Ted Lasso.
So Shrinkage is. I've only seen two episodes.
Hold on, is impressed. It Shrinkage or Shrinking? Because I feel like they
have I can't forget what it is. He said Shrinkage.
I said Shrinking, but you thought Shrinkage because probably personal experience.
I did say I don't go in the cold.
The Daily Show, I don't know if that counts as a comedy or if that's actually more of a drama, right?
So what's it called? Shrinking, right?
The Daily Show?
The Daily Show on Apple TV.
Yeah, that's back too. I got to catch up on that.
Is that the one with Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah,
that's not really comedy.
It's more of a drama, I guess. It had funny moments though.
That 90s show sucks.
Really? Yeah, I haven't seen it.
You were talking about this. What do you hate about it? The nostalgia is kind of cool though, seeing like the dad and the mom.
That's the only sell. Nostalgia points. The story makes no sense. The characters kind of suck.
Are we done with comedies with a laugh track?
That
annoys me. There's a laugh track, and it's so annoying. It's like I can't watch this.
I thought the laugh track finished a while ago. Like The Office killed the laugh track.
It's back for this.
That's why the Fuller House didn't do well.
Laugh tracks.
And this isn't doing well. I try to imagine like if Friends came back, because I used to like that show, or Seinfeld. Like, would it be successful? I don't know.
I feel like Seinfeld kind of had its continuation with Larry David's Curb Your Enthusiasm stuff. And that's without a laugh track, obviously.
Does Seinfeld have a laugh track?
Seinfeld did.
Yeah.
It did? Okay. So I can't remember.
I still watch it.
Like Friends did. Friends obviously did. I mean, what I mean is, are we mentally over it because, like you said, The Office has come out or no, other kind of comedies have taken a different approach?
I think it's not the laugh track. For me, at least, it's the adopting a story that we thought we were done with. So, like, the 90s show kind of bringing back some of that old 70s show. Remember Boy Meets World? They brought that back. They had the Girl Meets World with his daughters. And you're like, yeah, I'm cool with you guys. You guys rode off in the sunset. I didn't think you guys needed to come back with a sequel. And then Fuller House, obviously. I just feel like when they bring back the shows and they try to, like, we know you love the show then, let's keep that party going. You're like, nah, that party ended.
But there's been some good ones that, I mean, Always Sunny, that's a good one without a laugh track.
What's a good reboot show?
No, but it wasn't a reboot. Sunny is pretty original.
No, I'm just saying without the soundtrack, I think, like, comedy has shifted now, right? Like, you have things like The Office, Sunny, like, comedy, like, funny shows or whatever you want to call it, don't contain that. I think it honestly sounds off-putting when you're sitting there trying to watch the show. You're like, I can't do this, right? The laugh track is just sounds strange to me. I don't know,
it's forced. It's like, well, that wasn't funny, why are you guys laughing?
Because it's not a live studio audience. Live studio audience at least sounds a little bit more. This is like every second they keep laughing when the joke's not even funny.
I'm gonna take it back. The only good reboot show is that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air one, but that doesn't really
count. That's not really a reboot, though.
That's not a comedy.
They went a whole different direction with that. That was like a reimagining.
No, reboot's a good question, yeah. But yeah, I don't... Yeah.
You were saying 1923. They had 1989, too, or
1887.
Yeah.
1887.
They're really going back Yellowstone. Like, all right, let's just go as far back as we can with all this stuff.
Yeah. There goes Robbie. Oh, man.
Have you guys... Are you guys watching The Last of Us?
Yes.
I haven't had a chance, but...
It was... spoiler alert, we're going to talk about the third episode. I played the game.
It's okay. Go ahead. I don't care.
Well, they had this episode of, like, this gay couple. I was kind of pissed as I was watching it, because I was like, fuck, I'm watching a filler episode, three episodes in. This sucks. But then by the end of it, I was like, you know what? It makes sense. It was kind of nice overall.
It was a character development thing. What else what's going on in people's lives during the...
Yeah, that was kind of cool to see. But it was too long. It was too much filler.
Was it too gay?
No.
That's what one of the biggest criticisms I've read online. Ben Shapiro had like this scathing rant of, I'm watching a zombie show. Why am I watching this? This is progressive wokeism coming at us.
It's Ben Shapiro. Yeah. That's your first problem. Just watch it and move on.
I just saw so many people hating on this
episode. Or forward like we all had to do when we were kids.
It wasn't even that. There was only one like romance scene.
Oh, then who cares?
But I don't know. I enjoyed the episode. I was like, yeah, this is cool. And then
it was a fucking kiss. I haven't gone to a Punjabi wedding where two drunk uncles haven't kissed each other. Who cares?
What weddings are you at?
I want to go there. He goes to a lot of weddings. Now I understand why. Yeah. I want to go to his parties.
Yeah, this guy's going to some
It'll be like, you know, 1 a.m. is like somebody's trying to take their dad home, but his dad bumped into his college friend, or like we used to hang out and drink. Yeah.
Man, I was just thinking though, like that prepper character. I was like, damn, I'm so unprepared for any sort of thing that comes up. I have no guns, no secret bunkers that I can hide out in if the government comes knocking. I have no idea how to like do gardens and set traps and... I'm like, shit, I'm really underprepared for this stuff. This guy had like a full-on plan that he executed.
You're playing games all day long. You must have had some training.
Yeah, you must have Googled how to make a bomb.
Yeah. I mean, I read the Anarchist Notebook probably when I was in my teens one day, but I mean, I'm just sitting here shooting fake guns on screens. I'm stuck with a real gun, man.
Yeah, she knows the first one to go.
You think so? No, I think you'd figure it out. You can use a knife.
Look, in video games, I can fall 10 floors.
You should be able to use a knife. You should be.
I know what you're trying to say. All I'm saying is video games don't prep you for like real life combat situations or zombie taking over situations.
I'd run out of breath. Zombies different, man. I don't even know what to do if a zombie came. What would you do?
To be honest,
I've been trying to tell my wife this.
I just made a dark comment. Like, all right, kids, let's get in the Tesla. Let's go to that cliff.
You're that doctor. This is the California doctor.
Oh, sorry, that was uncalled for. That was too dark.
And where are all these? All
it undermines like Tesla safety ratings.
Yeah.
So maybe not. Maybe use a GM would have been
a better
option.
Hold on. Do you know what story I'm referring to? I don't know if you're referring to the same story where the doctor wanted to do like a.
That's what I'm laughing about. Yeah. Come on, kids. Let's get in the Tesla. Let's go on a cliff.
This is going over my head. So.
You don't remember hearing about the story about the doctor who put a kids in a car.
Kids and went
off a cliff.
And they survived.
Off a cliff. Try to kill him.
No. In California. No idea.
Off the cliff.
You should read it.
Into the ocean. They survived because Tesla was super safe.
Oh, shit. All of them?
Yeah.
All of them.
Injuries.
Kids are okay. Wife's still in hospital.
Yeah, anyways. Great, great transition into nothing, Robbie, because we're still...
That was dark. That was my dark mind. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry.
But all these zombie shows, what doesn't make sense with them? If you actually start doing the math and you think 6 billion or 8 billion people on the planet, you kill 10 zombies a day, there's probably like, let's say 200 of us. Like eventually after like 10 years,
gone. Zombies aren't reproducing in that same, but they're converting people. You die because of zombies.
So let's say, you know, there's a 99% chance that you ain't going to live. It's written 100%. There's no way you're going to avoid this. You're going to go down fighting or end it on your own terms?
When the pandemic hit, I was going through zombie life scenario situations. I remember going to the grocery store. I saw a guy with full-on zombie gear. He had that full-on mask with a thing, and he had the gloves on. And it was at that moment I looked at him like, what a fucking nerd. And then a few minutes later saying, holy shit, I feel like I'm underprepared for this.
Yeah, the craziest was the grocery store for me. Like before, when that lockdown order first came in, there was nothing. It was pandemonium. At a Longo's in Milton. I'll never forget it.
There was
The food situation's a bit different, but survival, like just generally surviving.
But that's what got me thinking. I'm like, hold on, what's my backup if the supply chain's totally fucked?
Randy hunts, so I mean that, or wants to hunt, I think.
Yeah, but right? Yeah, wants to soon.
Oh wait, Shinda, would you kill an animal at that point?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, fuck it.
I'd get that bunny. I'd get snares going. I'd be on Google looking up how to make a snare and like send up craps in like woods.
Yeah, man, you gotta do whatever you gotta do. You ain't got time.
Those rabbits are done, buddy. If I knew someone had a pet rabbit, I'd say, hey, can I take care of your rabbit for a day?
It's honestly so weird how we're obsessed with that, eh? Just as a population, the concept of a zombie show.
I just love zombie apocalypse scenarios.
I mean, even the games Resident Evil, all this kind of. We're kind of just obsessed with it, Walking Dead.
I was so into Walking Dead. I read all the comics. I was like deep into it. And I even remember having the conversation with my wife, like mentally prepped. I'm like, honest to God, I'd have to let you go because you would hold me back. You're too.
I'd have to keep my wife. She's a nurse, so I'd have to keep her with me.
I'm like, you don't listen to anything I say. You'd question every decision I'm making. Like, is that really what you want? I'm like, look, I got to take charge. I need someone who's just down and I feel like you'd hold me back.
I hope she's listening.
This is the clip I'm gonna.
I thought my Tesla joke was bad.
Yeah.
Tell us how you really feel, Shinde. How do you feel?
I feel like we've had this open conversation of like, look, we work now that civility and society works, but if society went to shit and I needed like be able to take charge, I don't know if you'd really help me here. I feel like I'd need to take charge.
Do you think it's a problem we have kind of strayed away from basic skills?
Oh, 100%.
Like, do you think that... I remember in... it's probably in grade 7. We had something called an outdoor club or something along those lines where they actually taught you how to make a fire, how to do X, how to do... Like, you'd go... It was an after-school thing, but you'd actually learn. And I'm like, do you think we'd need to reintroduce that into school?
There's very few people that can tie a secure knot.
No.
A very secure knot.
Everyone knows how to tie a knot, but the knot we tie on our shoelaces isn't a secure knot.
No, that's not secure.
There's like there's boat knots. There's like this.
If you ask someone to like tie down something so it doesn't go away in the wind, they'd be like, what the fuck? I have to watch videos or some shit. Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
A lot of people can't tie a tie, let alone, let's say, a knot. So, I can understand the frustration with that, but like just life skills, I think we've kind of, that should be something that's taught, man.
I mean, when I was post uni, we went camping a few times, hiking, like in backwood camping. My brother still goes. I told him that he has to stop now.
Your brother's like a caveman though, man. He's like doing it all.
Your brother will carry on the family name. Yeah. You are gone.
My brother's wilding sometimes. He'll just like go out. And I'm like, yeah, I tried calling you all weekend. Where were you? Like, oh, I went camping. I'm like, yeah, you could have let me know before you went. He's like, no, backcountry had no reception. I'm like, you should tell us before you do these things so we know where to look for your body if, you know, we don't hear back from you. And he's like,
but I'm surely he has enough confidence in his own skills that he's, you know, if it was us going and we have no skills, we'd be telling everybody, oh, yeah, here, I send you my tracking information now so you know where I am. Here's my air tag. I'm good.
We'd be going with a hotspot. Like a
satellite hotspot. Yeah. Satellite phone. So, yeah, man, I think that's something to be explored, man. And maybe we should get back to them and learning how to do that kind of stuff.
Are you guys going
to
take your kids camping?
I think so.
Yo, I was just thinking.
I hate the whole tent, the cabin camping for sure.
That's not camping. Luxury camping. That's not camping. If you're food cottage scarcity, in Muskoka, it's not camping.
If food scarcity becomes like a real issue, like, would you consider moving back to Punjab and just settling on the family farm? That is, you'd want to like.
Never going back.
You're gonna try to make ends meet here.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, we've sold everything here. Hold on, wait.
What difference is it from here to there?
The amount of land you have.
No, that's if it's the same problems.
Hey, not all of us have friggin' Balan acres, Ranjit. Got to put that in perspective too.
Yeah, Ranjit.
Everybody has a killa or two. Right?
It's three killa or less and you're poor or some shit like that. Isn't that the kind of
the
line? But no, it's not the... what advantage would you have there?
I don't know.
Is it a tundra? Less people? Less disease? Figure it out.
I just, you know...
Or not the tundra, whatever, up north.
You're in the village. You don't really need too much electricity, if any at all. There's some, every neighbor around you has tons of fields as well, so food isn't an issue. You make simple sabji outlast, you're living very cheap.
But why couldn't we do that here? I don't understand why you can't do that.
Because we don't have farms here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. And people have been here since like hundreds of years.
And I don't have a farm.
Oh, you're saying us. Oh. Hmm. Backyard, convert into a farm.
Like, are you, if you had the option, two options. You live on rations where you're given, Shinda, what's that shit we used to eat in an undergrad that you just add water to a boil? Sidekicks. You and your family live off sidekicks.
Fucking sidekicks.
And you get like one hot dog a week, or you move to Punjab and have a more balanced diet and stretch out like whatever.
Am I by myself or my kids?
No, you and your kids.
I'm staying here.
Really? Mm-hmm. I think I move pretty quick, man.
Yeah, he's going on. He's agent.
Anyway, just to chill.
Guys like us are looking for a Mazda to sleep on, right?
Yeah, this guy has a freaking military driver.
He has a bunch of kotiyan all over India. It's a bit different.
I was listening to Amrit Paul Singh on his like push for everybody to come back to Punjab. That's a merit.
No, that's a different scenario. I just mean if in terms of why I feel safe here, if that still holds true, other than fine, I have to deal with the food shortage. And I think we would have the know-how in this country to somehow figure that out, you know? Yeah, sure. I mean, I'd rather stay here than go back and deal with all that. That's just me. There's other things over there that I don't want to deal with, and I'd rather be by myself and figure it out over here.
I know the system here better than I know the system over there. It's kind of where I'm at now, but...
Excuse me.
Well, you were excused. Anything else caught your attention these days, shows-wise, or?
No, man. That's about it.
Well, then, that's all I got today.
All right.
I guess we're done. All right, boys.
This is it.
Sounds good. Yep.
This is all.
That's it.
Mailed it in.
Cheers. Thank you for listening.
Us some topics.
Thank you for listening. I mean, yeah, it's a slow week for topics, man. We have air balloons and lawyers overspending on real estate. Oh.
All right, boys.
Cheers.
Peace.